Hey there, hi there, it's Bran. Happy Monday. It's the Summit Drive Time Podcast. A little bit something different this week. We were unable to record a new episode for this Monday, and so what we decided to do is to put on here the kickoff to the Walking in Wisdom sermon series. We're walking through Psalms and Proverbs throughout the summer. We have our Walking in Wisdom guide that you can walk through with us. But we wanted to put something out today, even though we weren't able to record. So here is Jason's message from a couple weeks ago on Psalm 78. We will be back next week and all throughout July with new episodes of Drive Time. But until then, here's Jason, Psalm 78, Walking in Wisdom, Summit Drive Time. Have such a good Monday. Bye.
Happy Father's Day, all you dads out there. If you're newer with us, there's kind of a running history at Summit that I share some sort of story about my dad on Father's Day. And they can be a little out there. And all I mean by that is my dad. It's very interesting. He's a very interesting man. We have some similarities, and then we have in some ways that we're different, you know, probably like you and your dad. I've always said this, and with no apologies, because I mean, maybe it sounds self-deprecating, like I'm throwing myself under the bus, but my dad's a manly man, and that's one of the ways that we're a little different. Now, but what you'll pick up there is that, and all I mean by manly man, like, I feel like I'm fairly manly, like, I know how to mow my lawn, but because that's the sign of a man. It's not. I don't know how to fix things very well. You guys know this about me. My dad's very, he can do things. He can, and if he doesn't know how to do it, he's committed to figuring out how to do it. And I don't care. I don't care to know. That's how I'm wired, right? Like, if I don't know how to do it, I got enough going on up here, I'm not going to learn anything new. Like, I have concluded this as a 42-year-old man. My dad, though, it's good. He can fix things very, very manly. And so I've told stories through the years, and I was trying to think, what do I share this year? Because you've heard the stories. Some of you, if you haven't, then I don't know what to, I'll buy a cup of coffee and tell you something. I've told the stories of my bicycle being stolen there in Welford, South Carolina, and I'm just hating to tell my dad, because part of what we had to do, responsibility, we had to lock our bikes up at night because of, you know, just the area. And I didn't lock my bike up one night. It was a new BMX 360. It was real nice. And it got stolen, and I had to tell my dad it got stolen, and then he just walked into his bedroom, and he came out with a pistol. And I remember thinking, I'm really sorry that I didn't lock it up. And then he just walked off into the woods around our home, and he didn't say anything to me. He just walked off into the woods. And then, like, 45 minutes later, he came back pushing my bike. Now, that's manly. Like, it's a manly thing. If my daughter lost her bike, if she left it out, I would have said, so you got to walk the rest of your life. You got to walk everywhere. I'm not walking off into the woods. So you've heard that story, but it's a lot more elaborate than that. It's fantastic. You know, I remember being in the convenience store when I heard my dad say, and he's here today. It's totally fine that I'm saying all this. You know, I heard him say, we had someone in our neighborhood who was also kind of looking in windows at improper time. And if it's not your house, it's always an improper time to be looking in somebody's windows. And there was a guy who was doing that, and Dad knew who that guy was, and we had, you know, the police maybe had been called, whatever, they catch the guy. And then my dad sees this guy, a buddy of his, at the store, and that buddy says that he's there to visit in our area that guy. And then my dad said, well, if I ever see him on my property, I'm going to kill him. So I don't know, like, if you remember the first time you ever heard your dad threaten another man to kill another man. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Now, there's stories of sanctification. He didn't kill anybody. And there's great stories of sanctification and how the Lord... I was just trying to think today, like, Brandon and I were doing this podcast thing that we keep laughing about. We were really doing it, Drive Time with Jason Brand. And the podcast that comes out tomorrow is just about our dads. We share some stories. We share a little stories about my dad. But, you know, one of the questions that Brandon asked me as I was thinking about what to share today, it's actually not a funny... There's plenty of them. It's not one of those stories. This year was... This year in our family, was a little different. My dad had heart surgery, kind of quickly, valve replacement. And it wasn't the smoothest of things. So, don't really tell a funny story. I just want to publicly say, and I've said it before, but I'll say it today. I really love you. I'm really proud to be your son. And my dad taught me a lot of things growing up. Still does. Still like to call him when I don't know how to do anything. And my dad taught me hard work. Like work ethic, you know? What it means to show up and do your job, even on days when you don't feel like showing up and doing your job. But he had this really great ability to be a really hard worker, but never at the expense of his family. I'm super thankful for that. I have a lot of things that I give my time to, like many of you, not different than many of you. And I'm just thankful that I observed a guy who worked really hard, but he didn't work really hard at the expense of his family. Because I could see easily that if he had been a guy who worked really hard at the expense of his family, that I could have been a guy who grew up to work really hard at the expense of my family. So, Dad, thanks for that. And I would just say, you guys hear folks say this all the time, right? I'll just say it to you today. Like, if you have a relationship with your dad, one in which you can pick up the phone or you can write a letter and let him know how much you love him and you're thankful for him, take advantage of that. You know? I feel like we've always had that relationship. The heart surgery didn't make me go, oh no, now I better tell him how much I love him. It was just this reminder that I constantly want to tell you how thankful I am for you. So, that's my story today. I'm looking forward to this new summer series we're kicking off today called Walking in Wisdom. We're going to look at some select Psalms and Proverbs over the next 10 weeks. And I alluded to this in my welcome, but I just want to say it again because I really want you to walk away with one of these today. Our team has worked really hard on putting together a prayer guide for you over the next 10 weeks. And they're located out. There's a table that sits by itself out by the window there by the coffee. It's going to look just like this. It says Walking in Wisdom, Psalms and Proverbs. Would love for you to pick this up and take it with you today. We can make more if we run out. Also, it's available in PDF form on our website at summitupstate.org, if that's your preference. But our thought process was, one, we know a lot of people travel and stuff during the summer, so we didn't want you to miss out on what we're processing and thinking through as a church family on Sunday mornings. And then secondly, it's a discussion guide and a conversation starter for our small groups, which our life groups, which continue to meet throughout the summer. But I'm thankful for our team and the hard work that they put in there. I know I'm sharing a story a little bit about my dad, and it's Father's Day, and I know that's a little bit of a tradition. But I've actually, this week, spent a good time thinking about my family heritage. We're in Psalm 78, and I'm super thankful. I hope that was an encouragement to your heart, even as we sang through and read through Psalm 78 this morning. And you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. Our message today out of Psalm 78 is simply called The Wisdom of a Faithful Legacy. The Wisdom of a Faithful Legacy. And before we jump in, I want to acknowledge that this day means different things to different people, and that we all sit here with different experiences in regards to our earthly dads. And I don't want to rush past that. Last year, there was this prayer that we came across from a pastor in Tennessee. The pastor's name is Scotty Smith, and it was really, really well said. And before we look at Psalm 78, I just wanted to pray this prayer over us today. So you can bow your heads and close your eyes, and I want to pray this prayer over us today. Dear Heavenly Father, on this Father's Day, it's an unparalleled joy to acknowledge that you are the Father we've always longed for, the Father we've always needed. Our most loving and engaged fathers have been a wonderful hint of what it means to be your beloved children, but they can never be to us what you alone can be. And our most broken and irresponsible earthly fathers cannot rob our hearts of the joys we find in knowing you and crying, Abba, Father. Thank you for adopting us through the finished work of Jesus. Thank you for freeing us from our slavery to sin and our orphan-like ways, and for giving us the spirit of sonship a secure place in your family, and an inheritance that can never spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us. Thank you for promising to complete the work that you began in us, and for always and only disciplining us in love, even when it hurts. Thank you for faithful fathers who have led our hearts to see pictures of your perfect fatherhood more fully and accurately. Fathers who have kept their covenant of marriage with their wife, have loved us despite their imperfections. We are grateful for their constant presence and the tangible reminder of your grace that they are for us. And Father, thank you for the grace to forgive our earthly fathers who have failed us, including those who broke our trust, hurt us, or misrepresented you to us. Continue to heal us and free us from the lingering effects. And thank you for grace to acknowledge our failings as parents, for promising us the strength we need to humble ourselves before our children, to trust you to write stories of redemption in our families. Please do so, Father, to your glory. And lastly, Father, we thank you for the spiritual fathers that you've given to us, the dads of grace who help us discover more and more of the multidimensional love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' merciful and mighty name we pray. Amen. I thought that was very well said. Psalm 78. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 for us this morning. I'm going to read there. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a parable. And I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but to tell the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children. Verse 6 says that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. Verse 7 says, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. You know, the book of Psalms really is it's the hymn book of ancient Israel. 150 chapters, equals 150 songs. And they really do capture everything that the children of Israel felt and processed as they walked through what they were walking through, from joyful shouts of praise to tearful lament. You can sense their emotions. I think, personally, it's partly why all these years later, those of us that are children of God still do love and identify and relate in so many ways to what was written here, articulated through these songs. One author I was reading said it this way: for the people of God of every age, the Psalms serve as prompts and as patterns in drawing near to God. And the psalm we're looking at this morning, maybe in your study Bible, it might call it a historical psalm, as it looks back. You picked up on that as we read through it, right? It looks back on the events from Israel's past. And in looking back, there is this interesting thing that you recount, right? What you recount is the faithfulness of God to his children. And what's said there is, I want you to continue to recount this to your children so that they don't forget. I don't even know if it was, as we read through it this morning, if you picked up on it, but it's not a pretty picture that is painted about their history. Yet there is this beautiful picture at the same time, captured of God's faithfulness in the midst of their unfaithfulness. Even in the first few verses, you look at verse 4 there, Asaph, who wrote this song, he says in verse 4, we will not hide from their children, but to tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Do you see it? His glorious deeds, his might, wonders that he has done. And there was this expectation that fathers would teach their children. Verse 5, if you look at verse 5, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. I was reading those verses this week, and it reminded me of Deuteronomy 6, right? These are familiar verses maybe for some of you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, which says what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart. Verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your ears, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your home and on your gates. There is this idea we see in Scripture to remember well, to intentionally share and talk with our children, to disciple our children in the ways of the Lord. And a part of that is recounting the faithfulness of God. Yeah? From generation to generation. And I think that one of the sobering thoughts that arises from this psalm, Psalm 78, is without intentionality, it doesn't take long for people to forget. Is it possible to be a generation away from forgetting? Even in the world that we find ourselves living in 2018, would it be possible to look back and say more and more people maybe have forgotten to recount the faithfulness of God? One unintentional generation. One lazy generation. Maybe one ungrateful generation. Maybe a generation that just relied on the pastor to broker their relationship with God for them. I mean, it's actually one of the negative lessons in this psalm that if you study through verses 12 through 72, it is all about recounting things God did for Israel, from leading them through the Exodus, saving them from Pharaoh. And time after time, what do you read throughout the psalm? Them still rebelling against him. Again, verse 5 says, he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel. What does that mean? That means that God put a testimony in Jacob, which points us back to God's divine deliverance of his people, a monumental moment of God's faithfulness to his people. And he doesn't want them to forget it. Why? Because he wants the generations that will come to hear so that they too might know and put their trust in God. As I was studying this week and pondering this psalm, and obviously I know it's Father's Day, I was just reminded once again that this is what I desire. And here's the thing, it's one of the beauties of pastoring here at Summit Church. It's what I know so many of you in the room desire as well. For your kids and for your grandkids and for your friends to come and know God, fully put their trust in him. I know that's what you desire. I know that's what you pray for your children. Those of you that are grandparents, I know what you pray for your grandkids is that they would come to know him for themselves. They would come to know of the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ. And it was just a humbling reminder for me this week as God's child that I have the Word of God. So do you. That I know the works of God. So do you. I have experienced the faithfulness of God. And so have you. I'm empowered by the Spirit of God. So are you. I'm motivated by the love of God. As are you. Therefore, we have everything we need to declare and demonstrate the knowledge and glory of God to the next generation so that they might know him, that they might come to put their trust in him. I mean, in these first eight verses here in Psalm 78, like, that's the point of remembering well and intentionally sharing, right? Look back at verse 7. So that they should set their hope. Why remember well? Why articulate of God's faithfulness from generation to generation? That they should set their hope in God and they not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It's not just this is another reminder that it's not just a head knowledge of God that we want to pass on to our children. It's trust in him from the heart. And what shows that they have, as a matter of fact, come to trust him? Obedience. They walk in obedience. They follow him in the keeping of his commandments, as opposed to their ancestors. Look back at verse 8. That they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. And I mean, that's the story of so many throughout the Bible, and maybe even today, a heart that's not steadfast. And yet, in the midst of their unsteadfastness, what do you see? The faithfulness of God. Flip over, if you have your Bibles open, flip over to verse 35. I'm not going to do all 72 verses, but flip over to verse 35. They remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they flattered him with their mouths. They lied to him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast towards him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Verse 38. Yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity and did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all of his wrath. Verse 8 and verse 37 have the same words. What are those words? They were not steadfast, honoring God with their lips, but their hearts being far from him. And yet, in that, you still see what? The compassion of God. So much so here at the end of this song, and you can skip over to verse 70, his compassion so great. What does it say? He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, right? From following the nursing lambs, he brought them to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. Verse 72 says, with an upright heart, he shepherded them. He guided them with his skillful hand. And so while this psalm recounts in so many ways the unfaithfulness of Israel, it still ends with God building his temple and also choosing for them a leader, King David. And guess what? Look at it for just a second. Even though the psalmist encouraged them not to forget, they kept forgetting. History kept repeating itself, and king after king that followed in the footsteps of David. Until when? A descendant from the line of David, Jesus. In the words of Tim Keller, the truer and better David. The truer and better Shepherd King came along. And I do think that is our great hope as dads and moms and people who want to point our children and grandchildren and those we do life with towards the faithfulness of God. We get to point to Jesus. And we get to point to Jesus. As I studied this week, and I looked at Psalm 78. To be honest with you, there weren't a lot of, new things that jumped off the pages of me that I had not contemplated or thought about before. Maybe the same's for you as we've worked through Psalm 78 today. But as I close my time, I just want to talk with you briefly about what it looks like for you and I to point other people towards Jesus. If you're a dad today, a parent, a grandparent, what does it look like practically to continually recount the faithfulness of God and point those that you have influence over towards Jesus. Practically, what does that look like? A couple of things. It's my encouragement to you as a pastor and friend. One, set aside time. Set aside time. If you want to think well about the faithfulness of God, for sure, listen, for sure the Spirit of God at any moment can bring His faithfulness to mind. But what does it look like for us to set aside time to contemplate His faithfulness? How will you and I be reminded of the faithfulness of God? One way is through His Word. To read it. To meditate upon it. To create space and margin in our life that a regular rhythm of your life and a regular rhythm of my life is quietness to hear from the Spirit of God through the Word of God about the faithfulness of God. There is something about people in your life that were possibly really regularly and faithfully reminding you of the faithfulness of God. My guess is there is a correlation between that person and the time that they actually spent with Him in the Word. I can think of people in my life who have been faithful to recount the faithfulness of God into my life. And that's true about them. Observed their life, looked their life, got older in life and looked back on their life. And that's what I saw. I saw men and women who set aside time for themselves to recount the faithfulness of God. Here's the other thing I would say. Say thank you. Real practical. Say thank you. Some of you that are parents, you feel like that one of the things that you would like to teach your children, because I listen to how you interact with your children, and those of you that have listened to the Malones very well have probably heard us interact with our children in the same way. And what does that interaction look like? When something is given to them, what do we ask? Say thank you. Say thank you, right? What do you say? Thank you. If you have a heritage that has been faithful to recount to you the faithfulness of God, say thank you. You write them, you call them. I took some time this week to jot a note to my mom and dad. It's in the mail. I didn't know you were going to be here today. I just handed it to you. Jim and Linda, my in-laws, and both my grandmas that are living. And it was just a thank you note. Why? Because they have been faithful to recount the faithfulness of God. I remember thinking growing up that my family was really normal. I got to college at Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio, and it took all of about a month to realize how unique my family was. Not perfect, just unique. And maybe that's you today. You go, I don't have that person to write. But maybe, and I don't know if you picked it up in the prayer. It's one of the things I love about the prayer that Pastor Scotty wrote. Maybe there's other people. Maybe someone stepped into your life as a spiritual dad, spiritual mom, a spiritual grandparent. And that could be a person that you just say thank you to. Or what about this thought? Let it begin with you. Like, I get it. For a lot of you in the room, today is a hard day. You don't have someone who pointed you to the faithfulness of God. But how great would it be that years from now, when people retrace it back, they find that it began with you? Not because you're great, but because God is faithful. I did a team membership interview before the service this morning. And I was talking to the young man, and I said, tell me your story about how you came to know Jesus. It's a crazy story. I always think they're crazy stories. Like, God, through his son Jesus Christ, redeeming people, is just crazy. That's just crazy. It's beautiful. It's crazy. The stories that you guys share and tell. And this young man actually came to know Jesus a little earlier in life when he was a young fella. And like a lot of us, maybe that came to know Jesus earlier in life, we sometimes wish our story was a little different, maybe a little more dramatic. But I've always said that that was the grace of God, that my story isn't that dramatic. But at the same time, as I listened to his story, I heard the story about how his mom and dad came to know Jesus. Let it begin with you. I think this is just, good grief, this isn't a plug for ministry sign up, but this is a great time to say it. Those of you that every month serve in our children's ministry and our student ministry, thank you, because you're being those types of people. Maybe you're joining with parents who also want to pass down family heritage and what it means to walk with the Lord, a faithful family heritage, but you're joining in that. It's not babysitting. It's not, I got to go do this because this is the expectation of everybody to do it. There's not a whole lot of people in the room that I would talk about without getting their permission, but I can do it with Kevin Kennedy. And I'm telling you, the guy loves students. And if you listen to Kevin's story, it's because of what he wants to be in these teens' lives in this critical time in their life based on his story. Right, Kev? Let it begin with you. And then two other things, I'll be done. Write out your story of grace. Like, take a moment and write it out. Some of you are so worried about not being a good writer or something like that. I'll put these two together. Write it out and then share it. Write it out and share it. Well, I'm not a good writer. I'm going to flip it around for you for just a second before you contemplate how great of a writer you are. If your mom or dad or grandparent, someone who is influential in your life spiritually, wrote down everything that they ever wanted to write about the faithfulness of God and passed it on to you, would your critique be, they're not a very good writer? No, it wouldn't be. What you would say is, this is really sweet that I have this. So I would just encourage those of you that have influence. Maybe it's as a parent, as a dad, as a mom, as a grandparent. Maybe it's with friends. To be intentional about jotting down the story of grace that God's been writing in and through your life. As a testimony to what? The faithfulness of God. To regularly talk about where he is meeting you in the word and challenging you and growing you and encouraging you, all pointing to what? His faithfulness. His faithfulness. That's my prayer for you.